Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat is 765 and three quarters, down one and a quarter. July, 764 and three quarters, down one and a quarter. Soft May wheat, 695, down 15 and a half. July, 699 and a quarter, down 15 and a quarter. May corn, 493, up one. July, 497, up three quarters. December, 489 and a half, up one and a half. May soybeans, 1434 and a half, down two. July, 1405 and a half, down one and a half. November, 1186 and a half, down three and a quarter. May soybean meal, 468.40, now 50, down $2. May soybean oil, 4063, up 20. April live cattle, 146.25, down 22 and a half. April feeders, 178.95, down 55. April lean hogs, 125.67 and a half, and they are up 25. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Suppose we ought to spend a minute or two anyway talking about the hogs and pigs report today.
Yeah, and it's probably worth talking about given that the trade, I think, in the grains is probably, you know, very, very aware of what's going to be happening with the pre-estimates, especially from Reuters coming out earlier this week, under 50-pound weight groups coming in probably the biggest range I've ever seen, between 87 to almost 99%, and the 50 to 119-pound group coming in from 91 to almost 98%. So you're talking about a 12% range in the smaller piglet group. And, you know, the pigs per litter, the smallest estimate is just around 93%, the highest estimate near 100%. So these numbers, with this low of a number out there, could really impact our July seasonality for feed consumption of meal and corn. And I think it is very much worthwhile watching. And this report's probably just as important to the grain market and especially the meal market as it is the hog market.
So what number would be construed as bullish?
I think anything, bullish which? Bullish the hogs or bullish the grains?
Bullish the grains.
Bullish the grains would be a bigger number for the 50 to 119 and under 50 pounds. So if you get up around 98, 99% for those weight groups, and you see pigs per litter hang in there around 98, 99%, that means very good feeding demand still can be seen. That means the crush is still needed domestically, and that, therefore, I think you can connect to the dot, Dave, that you still need to get Brazilian imports in here to satisfy the domestic market because of how tight we are already in our old crop bean supplies.
All right, then. Let's go ahead and turn our attention to Monday. Any combination thereof, planting intentions, quarterly grain stock report, or the combination of the two, can you make a bullish argument for corn or soybeans?
You can. You can make a bullish argument for being in the grain stocks because you're running about 22% ahead on year-to-date export commitments versus last year at this time. This USDA current export forecast is just a little over 1.5 billion bushels. At 22% greater than that, you're running over a 1.6 billion bushel export pace right now, and you're midway through the marketing year. So there's literally 80 million bushels on the table here, Dave, that are pretty much unaccounted for. So you can make a bullish case for the bean stocks. The question is, how much is the trade already priced in by getting meal back up to $4.75 a ton and the May beans back up to $14.60 and getting up against those old highs? They've built some bullishness in, but if we would see anything below the lowest trade guess in the bean stocks number, I think that would be very friendly and would allow us the technical potential to close above that $14.60. Close above $14.60 is a technical breakout.
How do traders factor in what they do know, and that is that beans are coming in the East Coast via South America via China?
We don't know how much, and I think that's the one side of the equation, and the other side of the equation is we don't know how tight we are domestically here, and therefore we don't know how many imports we need. I think this is where one of the ministers from the Ministry of Agriculture in China came out, I think earlier this week or late last week, and said his import figure of beans was about 3 million tons less than this month's WASDE number. And so I do think that they're acknowledging that they're going to have to reposition and try to get some destination changes. But they reiterated that it's going to be mainly Brazil that they're going to probably inflict the harm on or the cancellations on. If that's the case, then we really do need to see the imports coming into our country before the trade's going to breathe a sigh of relief and say, okay, we've got supply to meet this demand.
Been taught to me by many of the on-air analysts that the technicals often foreshadow what fundamentals we don't yet know or are in the marketplace but are not known by very many people. So let's go through that as it might relate to Monday. Do we make any takeaways from the fact that we're at the top of the trading range in November soybeans, or do we make any takeaways from the fact that old crop corn has modestly broken out of the pennant formation to the upside?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, and especially in the world of the mechanized funds and the high-frequency, low-frequency trade that we see now that's all computer-related, I think that the technicals certainly have more weight than they used to, unless you have weather come in and play havoc, or you don't understand that demand does increase substantially on low prices. But getting back to your point, I think you do have very overbought conditions on the weekly feed grain charts, wheat and corn, the Dow Jones UBS Grain Index. You have the wheat clearly showing that it did not want to go above the 100-week moving average this week when it tested it again for a second week in a row. So I think technically on the weekly charts, Dave, especially for corn and wheat, you are in an environment where you have to feed the bull in the USDA reports, and that would be lower corn acreage, or you would see a surprise drop in corn stocks, and I think that would give you the ability for the corn to continue to go on higher and take into consideration that breakout that you're talking about, it poking its head above some of the technical resistance levels. But I think at this stage of the game, you're needing to feed the bull on the feed grains. I would say the same thing about the new crop beans as well. The new crop beans have had almost all of their upward momentum given to them by the old crop at this stage.
Is it in the realm of possibility that after 11 o'clock and we digest all the numbers, we will look at them and say we have now made a case for bullish arguments for both corn and soybeans?
Yeah, you can do that because, you know, you have the monthly charts that are just now starting to break out. I do think you need to have a little bit of a pause, especially if the weather turns around. That's the third leg of the stool that we haven't talked about, the fundamentals, the technicals. Now let's talk about the weather because mm-hmm. It's kind of in its own right at this point. And we have to agree, especially with the way the hard red wheat market's breaking today, that we have been starting to take now weather premium out of the wheat market. Is that foreshadowing what could happen in the corn market next week after the report if we don't feed the bull and the weather turns warmer in the eastern corn belt and gets us back on track for getting planting on a good pace, solid pace? And that's where I think that the weather becomes much more important if you get a bullish argument. In other words, the weather and the bullishness of the supply side can feed upon each other, and that's what you're talking about as far as an extended rally mm-hmm. into the springtime.
30 seconds. Are we seeing that the setback in hogs is just part of a bigger ongoing bull run?
I think that's very possible because we filled a gap on the weekly chart, and now we're waiting for the big numbers. If the numbers come in and those numbers are disappointing and the PED virus has hurt our young herd a lot, I think we should at least expect to go up and test the old highs, if not poke through them. And to put a 140 on June hogs would not be hard to do if we saw 87% in the under 50-pound category for the Hogs and Pigs report, in my opinion.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.